Okay, starting with Sugya Chaf Ches. So now we're going to be analyzing the Sugya of Yeish Bekarka. So in this Sugya, we're going to start ourselves off with four different Gemaras, two which are going to apply Yeish Bekarka, and two which are going to say Ein Yeish Bekarka, seemingly. And similarly to what we did in the last Sugya, when we have our steers and Gemaras, we're going to have to figure out how to explain all the Gemaras, depending on which side of the, you know, Ein Yeish or Yeish Yeish we take. So we're going to start off with our Gemara as well. We're going back to the story of the Avankarim. So in this time of the Avankarim, we're not going to be focusing we will a little bit, but less on the Shinoi, but we see it in the very beginning of the Gemara and the Avankarim. So the Gemara starts off right away saying that why did Rav Huna do this? Why did he have to go through this whole process? Because he said land can't be stolen. And there the Gemara then persists and tells us that the plan should be that the Goyim should cut these Hadassim so that now there's going to be a Yeish and a Shinoi. So we see from here the fact that land can't be stolen. That was obvious. The Gemara said Karkain and Exelis. But what was also pretty apparent was from the fact that the Gemara only told us there's going to be Yesh Bailim after you cut the Hadassim. It seems to imply that either one of two things. Either there was no Yesh on Karka beforehand, or that there might have been Yesh, we just didn't care, because Karkain and Exelis. That Machlokas right there, what I just did, is going to be we're foreshadowing that for two opinion in the Chashav Achronim later. But from this Gemara, it seems to be Ein Yesh Bekarka. Fine. Then we had another Gemara. Gemara in Bava Basra. It's a little bit confusing, so hopefully the Chevra, the two of you, can follow with me. But we have a scenario where if Reuven steals Shimon's field. Shimon. So if Reuven steals Shimon's field and sells it to Levi. Great, so we have three people so far. Reuven steals Shimon's field, sells it to Levi. So before we bring in the fourth character, which is Yehuda, let's just understand something logically. What would we say? If I said Reuven stole Shimon's field and then gave it to Levi, so if we're assuming with all the knowledge we have already with Yeish and things like that, so when would we say that Levi actually gets to keep the field no matter what, assuming that Shimon had Yeish? And if we say there's ain't no Yeish, then Levi never really got the field. That's the logical, you know, progression that we'd follow. So now, knowing that, we bring in Yehuda. And Yehuda now comes in and says that Shimon never really owned that field. Let's say he's claiming it's his own field. No, he was lying. It's my field. He has the deed. He's waving some deed. Who knows if it's real or not? So Yehuda's saying it's my field. So everyone else involved is saying this can't be. He's lying. So we want to know now, can Shimon himself go and testify that Yehuda's a crook? He's a kara, whatever it is. He can't be. He's pusleidus. He's crumb. Who knows? So Yehuda has no reason to be claiming this field. So we want to know, can Shimon testify? So the Gemara says Shimon can't testify against Yehuda because he's nogeya bedavar. So it's a little bit of a nuanced point, but if you think about that, what does that mean? Why would he be nogeya bedavar? Because he might have some ties to the field. But one second. He only has ties to the field if we say that there is Yeish. Right? That would be the only way he would have any ties to the field would be saying, yeah, if there was... Sorry, the opposite. The only way you'd have ties to the field if there's Eino Yeish. Why? Because if it's Eino Yeish, then Shimon really still owns it, and therefore if he can prove that Yehuda's lying, he could say, hey, there's no Yeish by Karka, so you can tell me you had all you want. I'm going to show you my deed. I own it, and therefore give it back. But if we say Yeish, that's the only way you can say that he's not Nogeya Bedavar. Because if there's Yeish, then the field goes right to Levi. Shimon no longer has any claims against the field, so he should be allowed to testify. So from the fact that Gemara says that he is no Geba Dover must mean that there's Eino Yeish Bekarka. It's a little bit hard to understand myself, but I hope that was clear. Fine. So far the two Gemaras implied Ein Yeish Bekarka. Then we had a Gemara in Gittin. So Gemara in Gittin, which, bear with me, the Gemara in Gittin starts off by saying that since Bavel was the civilized society, which the Gemara then continues and says, therefore, you cannot go get your land back if someone stole it from you and then sold it to someone else. It's very civilized, people stealing their land and selling it to someone else. But in any event, what does it mean? What's the point of the Gemara pointing out that it was civilized? It's because, like, we can make the comparison in America where it happens to be, you know, there wasn't any type of country like America back then. But America, if someone steals something from you, you go to the authorities and you hopefully get it back. It's not like the crazy, you know, they're not going to be like, no. Like, they'll hopefully help get you back your stuff that was stolen from you. So if you think about it in that context, so what happens? So the Gemara is saying that the reason why you can't go get your land back is because clearly you were Misyayish. Because if you weren't Misyayish originally, you would have went to the people in Bava. Like, I would have gone to America if someone stole my thing, and I would have went to the authorities and they would have gotten it back for me. But by the fact that I didn't go to the authorities right away, must have been that was Misyayish. So we see from here, from this Gemara, it's pretty clear that there is Yayish Bekarka. A fourth Gemara, this time in Maseches, in a Gemara in Yushalmi. The Gemara in Yushalmi says that if someone steals land and plants Kloyim on it, so we say you're still in violation of Kloyim. There's a special kunst to Kloyim that you can only be in violation of Kloyim only when it's done on the land that you own. But if we'd say that there's an Eno Yeish Bekarka, so it's impossible that you own this land if you stole it. So again, we see from this Gemara in Yushalmi, it must be, by the fact that you're able to violate Kloyim, it must be Yeish Yeish Bekarka. So again, we see two Gemaras in Yerushalmi and Gittin saying Yeish Yeish Bekarka, it's very hard to say, and two Gemaras that say Ein Yeish Bekarka and Gemara in Sukkah and Bava Basra. So the way we're going to understand it is through a Machlokas and two different Tosfosim, one in Sukkah and one in Bava Basra. The Tosfos in Sukkah is going to make his assumption that Ein Yeish Bekarka. So which Gemaras are you going to have to figure out? You're going to have to figure out the Gemaras in Yerushalmi and the Gemara in Gittin. So we're going to start with Yerushalmi. So for Tosos, Tosos say that Yerushalmi is a little bit of a technical issue. When it says Yesh Yesh Bekarka, it wasn't referring to the Dine Mamonis aspect. Of course, he's not able to acquire the land, but it's a separate Kloyim issue. Without getting into it in too many details, because I don't really understand, the point is that the Kloyim, you could still be in violation for some reason, regardless of whether you own this land in terms of Dine Mamonis. But when it comes to Stam Mamonis, there's for sure Eno Yesh Bekarka. The Gemara in Gittin for Tosos, he's going to have to say as follows. Through the lens of the Ktsos, who quotes his brother, the Truma Sakri, he's going to say that the sugya had nothing to do with Yayish. We made that assumption. Ah, so how can this whole story work out with all these players? So there's going to be a concept of Tuluya V'yav Eino Zvini Zvini, which is a concept in Shas that when somebody goes and coerces someone else to sell him something, so we assume it's Chal as long as we know that the guy was maskim to the sale or he actually physically gives him money. So there, it's pretty shocking concept, but a person can literally go over to someone, force him to sell him his object, but as long as we have a haskama or a payment, we can assume the thing is chal. So in this scenario, what happened? So we're not saying there's any form of yeish here. We're just saying that in the case in Bavel, the guy must have been maskim to the sale. It must have just been a mechila. He's saying, yeah, some guy forced me to sell and therefore I sold it. Because had he not been maskim, he would have went to the authorities. The fact that he didn't go to the authorities and claim his money back must have been he was maskim. So it was a concept of Taluy V'yav Ein Zvini Zvini. So this according to Tosos and Sukkah, this Gemara has nothing to do with Yeish Bekarka or not. And that's how he gets past that concept. Fine. Good. Then we have the Tosos and Bava Basra. Tosos and Bava Basra is going to take the opposite team. Tosos and Bava Basra is going to say that Yeish Yeish Bekarka. Okay. So then how is he going to understand the two Gemaras, Sukkah and Bava Basra? So he's going to, for both of them, it's going to be more of the fact that in general, people aren't misyayish on land. It's possible to say yesh yesh bekarka, but generally they're not. So what happened in Sukkah? In Sukkah, we said that there wasn't yesh on the adasim while they're in the ground. Why? Because what's the concept for both of these things? The ground's there. I mean, at the end of the day, it's much harder to be misyayish on something when you see it right there. You can always have in the back of your mind, you'll get it back, maybe the guy will leave, maybe he'll, you know, give it back to you, be nice, maybe we'll get the authorities involved. There's always, it's physically there. When the object's gone, it's much harder to claim that you weren't misyayish. So in Sukkah, while the hadasim are still attached to the ground, we assume that you won't be misyayish. So the Gemara said, therefore when you cut it, that's when there's going to be yayish biyad bailam. Not that there can't be yayish beforehand, it's just that generally people wouldn't be misyayish. Similarly in Bava Basra, we know that if we knew for sure that Shimon, the one that we think originally owned the land, was Misyayish, then we would allow him to be the witness because he wouldn't be Nogei Abedavar. But because there is a possibility that Yesh, because Yesh Yesh Bekarka. But the reason why we say he's Nogei Abedavar is because chances are he just wasn't Misyayish, and therefore that's why he's Nogei Abedavar. So most Rishonim happen to not agree with the Tosfos and Bava Basra, as in Rashi and the Rashbam. They happen to agree with Tosfos and Sukkah, though, that Ein Yesh Bekarka. Okay. That being said, we're going to move on to the next part of the sugya. And the next part of the sugya is going to be focusing on the karka and nixelus part. As we saw in our Gemara, the Gemara seemed to have linked Ein Yesh Bekarka to this idea of karka and nixelus. Rashi and Tosfos point that we assume that the din is land can't be stolen, we can also assume, therefore, the Ein Yesh Bekarka. Because the Gemara only said Ein Karka and nixelus outright. It never said Ein Yesh Bekarka. But that's the assumption of Rashi and Tosfos by us. The Gemara Bava Basra, though, says that if someone ends up stealing someone's land, and then it became a case of shatfanar. So when I was learning this with my chavrusa, I didn't really understand what that meant, because obviously it doesn't mean that land is being swept up by the river, because that would go against our whole thing, that karka, you know, with yesh, because then it wouldn't be there. But I'm guessing it means destroyed in some way. So the machlokas there is going to be whether or not you have to pay. I steal land, shatz v'nar, hurricane, something comes and destroys my land. So do I have to pay or not? So according to the Rabbanon, since land can't be stolen, I wouldn't have to pay because I never really stole it. It was always birshus habal. But if I can say land can be stolen, which is not the Rabbanon, the minority opinion, so then I would say you have to pay. Fine. But for our purpose of the sugya, we want to know what's the connection. What's the connection between yeyush and what's the connection between karka and nigzalis? So it's a machlokas and a sivos and the ketzos, and I'm going to be honest, it's a very small difference, I think, in the way they're looking at it. So try to bear with me. For the people listening on the recording, it's going to be hard because I'm going to give a live mushel. But I was explaining before to somebody asked me. So the Nesivo says, it's all about the fact that it's Bershuso. Meaning, no matter what, you can tell me, oh my gosh, like I have such chalitza das, and there's no way I'm getting my land back. But at the end of the day, it's in your possession. There's no way to ever take away land from your possession. So therefore, if there's no way to take land away from my possession, I can't. The key word is I can't have yeish. And the ketzos is not saying you can't have yeish. The ketzos is saying you could have yeish, but practically the problem is that it's never going to be able to enter into the stealer's rishus. Right? Whenever you have yeish, it might leave your rishus, but it can't enter into the stealer's rishus. So since it can't enter into the stealer's rishus, even if hypothetically you might have yeish, you're not going to be able to actually lose it because no one's able to take it. So therefore, we don't let the yeish be chal. The example I gave is as follows. Like, I always do this because I can't see without my glasses. So if my glasses are on the top of my head, I might like bug out and be like, oh my gosh, where are my glasses? Like, they're gone. But that's ridiculous. Like, they're obviously right here. So according to the Nesivos, when I'm saying, oh my gosh, where are my glasses? I can't say that he's going to tell you it's impossible. It's in your Rishus. You can't even tell me you had Yeish. It can't be. For the Ketzos, it's not that it can't be that I had Yeish. I could have Yeish. Again, this is the part where the mashal doesn't work for perfectly. But by the fact that no one else can take my glasses, my yeish that I had wouldn't be real yeish because I know I can always get it back. Just go like this, and it slides down on my head, and they're there. So the difference between the nesivos and the ketzos is if I can theoretically have yeish, or if I can't have yeish. That's the understanding I had. Fine. So that's how we're understanding the sugya of can land be stolen. Moving on to the next part of the sugya, we have yeish by avadim. So we had a Gemara in Gittin. There's going to be two Gemaras, again, as the theme is they're going to be sosar one another, seemingly. But we're starting off with the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says there is Yeish Ba'avadim. Seems pretty clear. And the Gemara continues and says we know that Karka is like Eved. You know, it's a famous concept. Avadim and Karka are similar. So therefore, the halacha should be the same, that we should have Yeish Be'Karka. So that's this. We're using Yeish Ba'avadim to prove us the Yeish Be'Karka. So we just said, according to some of the Rishonim, as in the Rashbam and Rashi, that and one of the opinions in Tosos, that there's not Yeish Be'Karka. So how are they going to address this? So we had three answers, two of which are the Rabbeinu Yonah, but it's really, I think, one answer the Rabbeinu Yonah, but we're also looking at it through the lens in the Nesivos, which is that, as we saw before, you can't compare slaves to land, because it's a matter of being physically there. A slave can hypothetically leave. You know, a slave can move and not be in front of you. But land is right there always. So therefore, I can't, if we're losing the Nesivos, we're going to get to Nesivos, but without Nesivos yet, meaning it's a practical difference. I'm saying, I'm not going to be Messiahish because the land's here. As opposed to Neved, which can hypothetically leave, and who knows, you can, you know, flee the country, and then all of a sudden I don't have a slave anymore. If we use that same logic in the lens of the Rabbeinu Yonah, what we'd say is, in the lens of Nesivos, sorry, we'd say it as follows. He was saying that it's automatically Bershuso. Land can't not be Bershuso, for the same logic of the fact that it's right in front of me. It's not moving ever. So since land can't move, it's automatically Bershuso, and therefore Ein Yeish, it's never possible. As opposed to an Eved, by the fact that it's not always right in front of me, there is a potential chance to say there's Yeish, because it's not always Bershuso. That answers for the Nesivos. The Shach gives another explanation, which can answer for the Ketzos, which is, it's possible to suggest that this Gemara in Gittin is irrelevant to our discussion, because it's possible to say that in this case, it wasn't really stolen. The case we were talking about was where the government came and there was where we call it a kivush melchama, where if the government comes and ends up stealing your land, it's not called a gzela from the government. It's just the government overpowers and takes your land. So it's possible to suggest we can't even bring up this whole gemara in the first place because it's irrelevant to our discussion about kinyan gzelos on either karka or avada. Back to but with that gemara and getting in mind, so we said there that yesh be'avadim, yesh is be'avadim. But then we had a gemara above a comma though that says if I stole an eved, right, and then that eved became old. So I go back to the original owner, because this Eved's useless to me. So I stole him when he was 20, and now the Eved's 80 years old. So 6 years later, and I say to the guy, either Halach or some form of Hareshel Chabal Fanecha, here's your slave. What am I doing when I say that? I'm saying I never stole it for you. It was never mine. I'm admitting inherent in my response, Hareshel Chabal Fanecha, is I'm saying what was always yours is right in front of you. So what I'm saying in that scenario is that I never made a Kinyan Gezela, even though there was obviously Yeish. So if we're comparing it to the two Gemaras, and we said there it's for sure Yeish, it must be here that there was no Yeish. So how can it be here that we're going to say there's no Yeish by an Eved? And therefore, that's why he was able to say, HaResh El Chab L'Fonecha. So to end off the sugya, we had an answer in the Ravid, and the Ravid says, we really can't compare the two cases of Avadim. Because the case in Gittin is where the slave was dead. So, okay, Shkaich, you can't say HaResh El Chab L'Fonecha on a dead slave. It's not here. But in the case of Bavakama, the slave was still there. Therefore, that's how he was able to say, Arei Cheshalcha Bofanecha. Shkoyach.